Brother Michael this week is in Chicago leading a group of clergymen that he facilitates as they get more training. So he will be back later this week, and I don't think he's much colder than we are. I checked the weather this morning. It's about the same up there. I'm reading this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, would your words be spoken and heard and acted upon today by us, your people? Amen. The last year of my course of study work, I had this 500-level class called Theology of Ministry. One of the assignments in that class was to write my own creed. But unlike the Apostles' Creed that we've been studying in this sermon series, mine had to be at least 10 pages long and cover specific doctrinal points. Can you imagine standing up on a Sunday morning and saying something like that every day? My professor couldn't either. He didn't think it was very good, actually. Nothing will make you appreciate and respect and even revere the Apostles' Creed as much as trying to write your own creed. You just can't say it any better. The earliest Christian creed wasn't 10 pages long. It probably wasn't even 12 phrases long like the Apostles' Creed. The earliest Christian creed was probably simply, Jesus is Lord. And that pretty much sums it up. But as various interpretations and opinions sprang up, as different religious beliefs and practices began to seep in to those isolated pockets of Christianity, churchmen began to clarify what we believe and how we as Christians experience God in this world. One of the phrases those churchmen came up with, based on our experience, based on the scripture like we read this morning and others, is, I believe in the communion of the saints. Now, this is probably the least understood phrase in the Apostles' Creed, and we look at it today because today is also what we in the church celebrate as All Saints' Day, a time once a year in early November when we remember those who have gone before us in the faith. So, on All Saints' Day, we're going to talk about the communion of the saints. So, what's a saint? When we hear that word, most of us probably think of those famous examples of holiness and piety that have been canonized or voted into sainthood by the church. Saint Jerome, Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Peter, maybe even Mother Teresa. But biblically, in the New Testament, this term saint refers to a believer in Jesus Christ. To the ordinary, everyday, you and me members of this church, of the church down the road, and the church across the street, and the church of the first century, and the church that is yet to be. According to the scriptures, you are a saint. I am a saint. All of God's children are saints. In the Greek and the Latin, there is just one word that we translate as either holy or saint. And if you were to look at the Apostles' Creed in either of those original languages where it first existed, you'd see the same word repeated three times. We say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the holy. And that way, that time, we would translate that same word, saint. But in Greek and Latin, it's the same word. That makes me think about the Holy Land, Israel, Palestine. When we call that place holy, we obviously don't believe They are morally perfect there, where everybody loves each other as they should. The Holy Land is not a land of peace. It's a land of war and terrorism and hatred. And yet we call it holy. Why? Because this is the land where it pleased God to come to us most clearly. This is the land to which Abraham and Sarah were called, where Jacob and his wives raised their children, from which Joseph went to Egypt and his descendants eventually returned. It's the land where Samuel heard the voice of God, where Isaiah saw the Lord. It's the land of Peter and Mother Mary and James and Mary Magdalene. It's the land where Jesus walked, where Jesus shed his tears and his blood. None of that really makes that place pure. In fact, it makes Israel's history of war and hatred all the more tragic. But you see, it does make it holy. Not morally perfect, but consecrated, set apart, chosen, singled out by God. That's what we mean when we say the church is holy, or that we are the communion of the holy, the communion of the saints. One of the 34 weeks in the Disciple Bible study is themed around this word holy, and there's always this chafing when the study dares to call us holy. But biblically, something is holy when it's set apart for God's use. I went on a trip this weekend, and as I was laying out my clothes there on the bed next to the suitcase. Those clothes were set apart, but they weren't holy. Something that's holy is set apart for God's use. Sometimes we set apart objects as holy, or buildings as holy, or bread and wine as holy. So we in our baptism are set apart as holy for God's use. The image, Methodists baptize either by immersion or sprinkling or pouring. Immersion, dying to our sins and rising to new life. Pouring, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And sprinkling, as in the Old Testament, sprinkling items, consecrating them, singling them out for holy use. All of these are biblical images. And we, by the waters of our baptism, however we were baptized, we are singled out and marked and set apart for God. So we are a part of the communion of the holy, the communion of the saints. We don't worship our saints. We don't pray to our saints. We're one of them. We're in fellowship with them. And that brings us to that word communion. More than saints set apart for God's use, we are in communion. We share together and are connected together in some mysterious way through our God who is outside the bounds of time and space. The communion of the saints includes those who have gone ahead of us and those who will yet follow us. It's this great fellowship of faith spanning the ages and the continents. For as we are connected to God, we are also connected to each other, wherever we may be. The end of September, Lucy Bentley and I spent a week at Camp Sumatanga at an academy for spiritual formation. While there, one of the ladies in my small group that I met was a wife of a retired Methodist pastor. She was also the mother of the man who owns Brubaker's Restaurant in Madison. I go there often, meet my best friend. When I told my friend about meeting this lady, she said, "It really is amazing how connected we are to each other." That's just one picture of the communion of the saints, believers connected to each other across boundaries of space and place. But we're also connected across the spans of time. My son Robert was not yet 2 years old when my grandmother died. She had met Robert, she had loved on him, she had left her lipstick on him, she had showered him with presents, and when he was a baby and no one else could get him to stop crying, Grandma could get him to stop crying. But I will never forget that first Christmas without Grandma, just a few weeks after she had died, sitting on the floor there with Robert, helping him open his presents and finding there some she had picked out for him. She had wrapped for him. She had labeled for him, already for him, before she had died. Her distinctive handwriting still there on the labels. Though absent in the body, Grandma was still with us in a way, connecting across the bounds of time and space, even across life and death. And in some mysterious way, through our connection with God, believers everywhere who have ever lived, who ever will live, are connected together as God's holy church. Through our God who spans and engulfs and is outside of all time. Through God, our hands and our hearts are joined. And today, of all days in the church, we celebrate this great connection that says that Grandma and Robert and Robert's great-grandchildren and you and me and all of our families who have lived, who are yet to live in Christ, are connected together today, even now, communing. I want you to watch a video that celebrates this connection that we share. It's the story of a mother and a father and a boy named Elliot.
Dear Elliot, right now you are 2 months from being born. We just found out that you have trisomy 18, also called Edwards syndrome. Doctors tell us that you won't likely make it to birth. Your mom and I are praying against that. We're praying for healing. We are praying for nothing less than a miracle. You're our first child, and the day of your birth couldn't come sooner. Dear Elliot, you were born today weighing in at 6 pounds. You are already a miracle to us. Your mom is doing well, and it looks like we'll be hanging out here at the hospital a little longer. Dear Elliot, today you turned 11 days old. We are so proud of you. Today we celebrated your 11th birthday. In fact, we do that every day at 4:59, the time you were born. Dear Elliot, we've been home for a week now, so that's why you don't see your nurses anymore. It's great to have you home. Today I think we'll pack up everything and take our first venture out for coffee. Dear Elliot, I don't know if you've noticed, but you're connected to some tubes. The doctors say we have to keep these in so you can get oxygen to breathe. You are also fed through a feeding tube. We feed you every 3 hours and it takes an hour and a half to do it. We've loved learning how to best take care of you. We love it. Lots of people email, call, and send cards on your behalf. You're well loved. It's 11 at night right now and my feeding shift has just begun. Mom is asleep and the best part of my day has begun. My shift ends around 4:45 a.m. when your mom takes over. She cherishes her mornings with her boy. Today you turn 1 month old. I didn't know if I'd ever get to say that. To top off the day, 20 friends showed up at the door for a true surprise birthday party for you. They sang, brought balloons, and a birthday cake. It was beautiful chaos. At 2 a.m. this morning, your feeding tube came out. We had been warned this may happen eventually. We quickly realized we did not have a stethoscope, which was necessary to replace the tube. Since our neighbor was a nurse, I went ahead and knocked on their door at 2:30 a.m. They found their stethoscope, and your mom went to it. After much wrestling, praying, and your tears, the tube was down, and you were able to feed. Just so you know, your mom is my hero. Dear Elliot, you now weigh 7 pounds 3 ounces. You're growing, and your food has been bumped up because of your good appetite. You continue to find new ways to steal our hearts. Dear Elliot, today marks 2 months of your life. Your mom and I are so thankful we know you. We know your face, your noises. We know that bath time and massage are your favorite daily activity. You finally learned how to suck your thumb by yourself. Because of trisomy 18, you were born with clenched fists, and being able to do this is actually quite difficult. Way to go, son. Dear Elliot, We celebrate your birthday every day with a picture. Lately, we've tried to get a bit more creative. Dear Elliot, I realize you can get frustrated with your tubes and your frequent congestion. Please know that your mom and I are doing everything we can to make you comfortable. Dear Elliot, well, you tipped the scales today at 8 pounds, 14 ounces. Quite an accomplishment. You also have managed to grow a pretty decent mullet. Dear Elliot, we all got to go to a reunion at the hospital. I've never seen your mom more happy. The joy she felt getting to show off her son can't be described with words. In fact, she compared it to the way a mother would feel when her son becomes president or wins a Heisman or develops a cure for cancer. The logic of medicine says you shouldn't be alive, but you are. You are such a fighter. Dear Elliot, you have now passed the 3-month mark. You also got your first cordless pictures taken today. No feeding tube, oxygen, or stickers. This was no small accomplishment, but we got it done. Have I told you lately that we are so proud of you? Dear Elliot, today you went to be with Jesus. An underdeveloped lung, a heart with a hole in it, and DNA that placed faulty information into each and every cell of your body could not stop God from revealing himself through a child who never uttered a word. Not a pulpit, not a slick presentation, not a best-selling book, but a 6-pound boy with trisomy 18. God found great pleasure to take a lowly thing in the eyes of the world and show truth. At your funeral, we released 99 balloons. Each balloon representing a day of your life. How beautiful it was to watch. How quickly they were gone. And so today, we celebrate. Elliot, you are well. And although we miss you more than we can express, we're only separated from you by our time left on earth. See you soon, son, mom and dad.
This too is a picture of the communion of the saints, separated from each other only by our time left on earth. And so we celebrate. Today, as a part of our All Saints remembrance, we will name the names of those we have lost. As a church, we remember and celebrate and give thanks for Miss Doris Chadron. As we come for communion, I invite you to take a balloon or a bunch of balloons with you at the end of the service that you can release in remembrance of those you have lost. Speak now any names that you wish of those you've lost. Would our servers please come and pray with me, please. Lord God, for all those lives who have taught us and inspired us and held us up and walked before us and shown us the way, we give you thanks and praise. And in some great mystery of the faith, Lord, we give you thanks that even today we are connected through you. We look forward to the day when we will all be together. Now we come to this table and share of your sacrifice for us, symbols of your love for us. Come and be with us here in a special and fresh way, we pray. Amen. Represents the body and blood of Jesus, who suffered and died for us, who loved us, who forgives us, who holds dear our loved ones, and who is with us today and forever. Take and eat with joy and celebrate eternal life that we have in Christ Jesus. Would you come now, please, by the center? Feel free to take a balloon after communion or at the end of the service. God's grace, go in God's strength, go and release your cares to Him, for He holds our loved ones safe. Amen.